The epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He did this when he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, so that we would be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. He did this in accordance with the good purpose of his will and for the praise of his glorious grace, which he has graciously given us in the one he loves. In him, we also have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in keeping with the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will in keeping with his good purpose, which he planned in Christ. This was to be carried out when the time had fully come, in order to bring all things together in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have also obtained an inheritance, because we were predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in keeping with the purpose of his will. He did this so that his glory would be praised as a result of us who were the first to hope in Christ. In him, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and in him, when you also believed, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of God's own possession, so that his glory would be praised. This is the word of the Lord. Let me begin with a story that some of you will get and some of you will not get. A person went to a mechanic one day because there was something wrong with their car. They went into the waiting room while the mechanic looked over their car, high, low, and left and right. The mechanic walked then into the waiting room, wiping his hands on his rag, and he says, "It's the muffler belt. It's shot. You need a new muffler belt." Now, some of you are going to understand that this is a joke. Others won't quite get it. Whether you get it or not has to do with how well you understand how cars work. You've probably heard of cars having mufflers, you've probably heard of them having belts, but if you don't know how mufflers work and how belts work, then you will know that there's no such thing as a muffler belt. Mufflers are pipes that carry the exhaust from the engine back from the car, and besides that, they also muffle the sound. That's why they're called mufflers, but basically a muffler is a fancy pipe. Belts run on pulleys or wheels. They transfer energy from one part of the machine to another part of the machine. Belts do tend to break or need to be replaced, so a mechanic telling you that you need a new belt isn't that surprising, but there's no way that there could be any belts on a muffler. That's like saying you could get into your car and drive across the ocean. It's not going to happen. It can't happen. But you can't know that without already having a good bit of knowledge going into it. Jokes are a pretty sophisticated way of talking. If you don't know what's being talked about, then you probably won't get the joke. Praising, giving praise, is another sophisticated way of talking. Let's say that someone starts singing the praises of a Ford 5-liter engine. They start listing off things like torque and horsepower. Some of you are going to get that praise. A lot of us, including myself, might start to get a little glassy-eyed. The praise is meaningful to some. To others, it's just a bunch of blah, blah, blah. You might need to learn some stuff in order to understand why someone might be excited. Our epistle reading this morning is a hymn of praise. That makes it one of these higher levels of talking. If you don't know what Paul is referring to, then it can sound like a bunch of blah, blah, blah. Just as a car enthusiast won't take the time to explain horsepower or torque while he's singing his praises, so also Paul is not explaining the different things that he's referring to in this hymn to God the Father about his Son, Jesus Christ. So we will have to do some work in order to understand what Paul is saying. And even then, I think you should take this bulletin home and carefully read through it again later today. Let's begin by talking about the main theme of Paul's hymn before getting into the details. The main theme is that Paul is praising God the Father. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Three times in these verses he refers to God's glory. God's glory is to be praised. Praise and glory go together. It is the glories of the 5-liter engine that lead some to sing its praises. God's glory provokes praise. Let me give you a couple examples of God's glory before going into the glories of God that are specifically talked about in this hymn. God's creation itself is an example of God's glory. All the things that God has made, its strength, its beauty, the joy it gives us, these are God's accomplishments that provoke praise. Another example of God's glory is the way that he liberated Israel, who was enslaved under Pharaoh. God twisted Pharaoh's arm to let them go, and then he destroyed Pharaoh and his chariots, throwing them into the sea. This was God's accomplishment that calls forth praise. So it is with all of God's accomplishments in the Old Testament. Paul, however, is focused on one multifaceted thing, our Lord Jesus Christ. In these 12 verses, Paul uses the phrase "in Christ" 11 times. When you read through it again, pay attention to how often he says either "in Christ" or "in him." When he says "in him," he's referring to Christ. So overall, Paul says, in Christ, God accomplished this. In Christ, God accomplished that. These accomplishments are God's glory that call for our praise. But here we run into another difficulty when it comes to our praise. God's accomplishments in Christ are of a far higher order than earthly things. We can somewhat understand the glory of God by looking at his creation. We can somewhat understand the glory of God in him defeating the Egyptians. It is harder for us to see how the redemption of his blood forgives our sins or makes us blameless or holy before God. It is harder for us to see how we are adopted as sons in Jesus Christ. One part of this problem is that we haven't yet experienced the 10th part of what God has accomplished for us in Christ. This is kind of like talking about torque or horsepower to someone who isn't a car person. There's probably no better way to understand torque than to experience the feeling of being pushed back in your seat when the gas pedal is punched to the floor. There's probably no better way to understand horsepower than to see a truck pulling something very heavy. But as Paul says in our reading, we, for whom God has done all these things in Christ, haven't gotten our inheritance yet. We have the Holy Spirit, sure, but we have not yet had our bodies finally redeemed from death and decay. How can we know what it is like to rise from the dead when we haven't yet experienced it? So this is one part of the problem. We haven't experienced anything that is even similar to the accomplishments of God that Paul is talking about, that he's praising him for. The other problem is much more serious. It is our active hostility toward heavenly things and our insatiable craving for earthly things. Characteristic of this mentality is how we get carried along by the spirit of this age. We get deceived into thinking that reality is only those things that are seen. We think that what is permanent and important are the nuts and bolts of this world. We overestimate the importance of the things that we can see and that we can buy and that we can consume. When it comes to a person's relationship with God, on the other hand, this false mentality makes it seem as though this is something that's light and unimportant. Either people take it for granted, this relationship with God, so that it's nothing really to worry about, or they say it's pre-modern, mythological, again, nothing to worry about. What do we need to worry about? Getting ahead in life. And so we have a very hard time appreciating the things that Paul is talking about, because our flesh is hostile to such thoughts. In fact, just after where our reading ends, Paul has what seems like a strange prayer. He prays that God would bless these Christians in Ephesus with the Holy Spirit so that they may know Jesus. They're already Christians. And yet Paul prays that God would intervene so that they would know Jesus. This shows that knowledge of Jesus is different than gaining a knowledge of torque or horsepower. There is a deadness and a hostility in us that needs to be overcome. Understanding the difficulty of knowing Jesus and asking God to give us his Holy Spirit, let's return to the main theme again. Paul is praising God the Father for his glory. The glory that is being praised is in Christ this and in Christ that. Let's briefly go through the accomplishments that God has worked in Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has chosen us before God created this world. He makes us holy and blameless. He chooses us to be adopted as God's children by being united with Christ. Paul speaks about the way that we have come to be saved. We have not been saved by the use of 10 plagues or by the opening up of the Red Sea, like it was with the Israelites. Instead, we have been saved by a sacrifice that Jesus has done. In Christ is redemption, the forgiveness of sins through his blood. He gives us wisdom and insight, not of earthly things, but of heavenly things. Christ came in the fullness of time as the heart of God's will toward mankind. At the end of time, all things are going to be brought together in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. Here again, we see how mistaken our thoughts about reality can be. Right now, it seems of little consequence if a person believes in Christ or not. It can seem much more consequential how much money or prestige or fun a person might have. But all things are going to be brought together in Christ. He will be the only thing that matters. Paul says in another place that all things will be put under Jesus' feet, and then he will hand them over to God the Father, so that God will be all in all. But let's finish what Paul says in our reading about the things that God accomplishes in Christ. In Christ we have an inheritance. Abraham's descendants inherited the land of Canaan. We have a greater inheritance in heaven. Finally, in Christ, we heard the word of truth, which is the good news of our salvation. And in Christ, when you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. This is the down payment of the inheritance, the redemption of our bodies. With everything that we have talked about, with God accomplishing for us in Christ, perhaps you have understood certain things more and other things less. Maybe some of the things sound like torque or horsepower. It's important that we are not satisfied with Paul's hymn of praise sounding like a bunch of blah, blah, blah. There is literally nothing more important that Paul could possibly be talking about. All things are going to come together in Christ. Plus, he's not talking about something that is unrelated to you and to your future. The things that he is talking about are going to affect you directly and personally. This is not a hobby. This is God and you. It is God's relationship with you. And what are the terms of that relationship? It's the thing that Paul keeps saying over and over in this hymn. The terms of this relationship is in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. So we do well to take into hand that strange prayer that Paul has for the Ephesians, that God would give us the Holy Spirit so that we may know Jesus. When was the last time that you prayed for God to give you a knowledge of Jesus? Something that's easy to take for granted. Just as a lack of knowledge of the 5-liter engine might prevent us from singing its praises, so also our lack of knowledge of Jesus prevents us from joining in with Paul when he praises the glory of God in Christ. It is because we do not understand the greatness of what has happened in Christ that our praise falters. Instead, our thoughts and subsequent praises may well be directed toward other things, ourselves or our family or whatever else we might have, for example. So as I mentioned at the beginning, you probably have a little work to do to understand the glories of God that Paul is praising in our reading. Read through this reading again later today. Join in with Paul, praising God for the glories that he has accomplished in Christ. The glories of God have been done for you out of love for you. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.